Hey everybody, welcome back to the 2024 Fire and Safety Services calendar shoot. Fire and Safety Services is the Pierce distributor for the state of New Jersey, and we're doing this incredible project where we're touring all over the state, documenting 12 different builds that they've done over the past year. Today, we're sitting here in Lower Township, Fire District Number 2, which is the Town Bank Fire Company. Chief of Department, Lou McGonigal. Chief, thanks for joining us. Thank you for opening your doors and allowing us in.
Oh, you're quite welcome. It's been a good day.
It's been a great day. Yeah. It's been a great day. We're going to talk about that. Deputy Chief Anthony Franco, Tony, thank you, Chief, for having us. I appreciate you. And Battalion Chief Matt Franco. Fellas, thank you for joining me today. We had a tour of your 2022 Pierce Velocity 100-foot rear mount tower ladder. We took it out. We drove it around. We flew it in a couple different areas. What a beautiful area you guys cover.
This is a nice spot. It's quiet. It's just off the beaten path of Cape May.
Yeah.
You can come over here and enjoy yourselves all summer and not be so crowded.
Yeah. I mean, so if you're to put it in perspective, the Cape May Lewes Ferry comes into your First Due District. So that's a very popular ferry port. You have the Cape May Lighthouse. You have very popular and touristy Cape May right next door to you. So it's a hustle and bustle area, yet off the beaten path.
Off the beaten path.
Yeah.
It's gotten worse and worse over the years. The people have found that this is a nice spot. The beaches are nice. They're free and open.
Yeah.
So on the weekends, the place is mobbed. There'll be 20,000 people down on the beach. And that's part of our responsibility as well, water rescue and divers.
So you guys have quite the First Due District then. And I think that's what's important about this conversation. I want to learn a little bit more about the fire company itself, but also your response area, because I believe that when we talk apparatus, the apparatus has to be built and designed around its First Due area, where it's serving, right?
Right.
And so when you break down the truck that you guys built as we drove around today, I got a real appreciation for why you guys chose to do certain things on the build. And so it's a very diverse First Due area.
We have everything from single family, single story, to multi-story, multi-family, to nursing homes that are multi-story,
sure,
to restricted age buildings that are multi-story. So we do a little bit of everything. We have a commercial fishing fleet that we have to deal with. So the truck is set up to do just about everything we need.
Yeah, for sure. Chief, walk me down a little bit about the fire department itself. It's nice to see your son sitting next to you. Deputy Chief, Battalion Chief, I'd love to be in some of those officer meetings. I'm sure they're a lot of fun. Trust me, I've been through it.
Yes.
I've been through it. I have two brothers and a father in the same fire department, so there's four of us and second generation. So I love it. You said that you guys are third generation.
Third generation. My father was a member back in the 70s. Unfortunately, he passed away at an early age. Mm. And I came in right after that in 84, 85. And my son joined
08.
In 08.
Nice.
We're 100% volunteer fire company
here.
Very family oriented. Chief McGonigal's son is a fireman here. We have multiple generations of firefighters, family here. So it is a big family affair.
It needs to be.
It needs to be.
Right? Smaller community. Chief, break it down for me. Do you population, square mileage?
Square mileage, around 12 square miles that we cover, which is really a spread out 12 square miles.
Yeah.
20,000 people in the wintertime, 30, 40,000 in the summertime.
Right.
I mean, it really blows up.
Southern tip of New Jersey. So for people that are going to watch this that aren't 100% familiar with New Jersey, in fact, coming here, I'm a lifelong New Jersey guy, 46 years, I did not know where Town Bank was.
Right.
I've heard of Lower Township, I put it all together when we got here, but we are at the very southern tip of New Jersey.
Yes, we are about as far as you can go without getting in the water.
Right.
The Town Bank section is a part of North Cape May.
Okay.
And it was named Town Bank years ago when this was a whaling community.
Mm.
The whalers used to bring the whales to the town's bank to do their slaughter. So where it came up with Town Bank as the name.
Yeah.
Town Bank was actually the first settlement in this part of New Jersey. Cape May will try and tell you they were first, but we were quite a few years before that.
Right. Very interesting. That is cool. I love the history of it too, right? And I think, how long have you lived in this area?
I moved here when I was 5 years old in 72.
Okay.
I've been here ever since. Joined the fire department in 89 after I got out of the Navy.
Got it. Okay.
And, you know, been a member since then.
Yeah, I love, I think what's important, and Matt, maybe you can speak to this, but like, I'm a legacy firefighter in my town, right? In my volunteer fire department. Grew up in the town, been able to raise my own family there, stay and raise my family. So to be part of that fire department that I knew as a kid growing up is very important to me.
Absolutely.
Talk to me about that.
So we're lucky enough here to have a junior program as well.
Yeah.
That's where I first came in. I started, came in as a junior when I was 14 years old. And you can work your way up. So when you come in at 18, you're already
ready to go.
You know, ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, and with the Fire Academy now, they're actually letting the junior members attend the Fire Academy. So when they turn 18, they can, you know, go get their certificates, and they're through the door and ready to go, you know, wearing air packs and,
yeah,
you know, right next to us.
How was it growing up? I mean, did you come to the firehouse a lot with your dad?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so it was a big part of your life growing up. I think that's the most important thing. When you, Chief, you talked about family. Mm-hmm. To be able to expose your children to a place that is so family-oriented matters.
It does. It's 100% why I joined this company. I've seen it when my dad was in here. It's just the togetherness.
Yeah.
Everybody's got everybody's back.
Yeah.
It's just a nice feeling.
I love, you know, when you talk about volunteer fire service of America, it is Americana 101. Like Main Street USA, what's there? A fire truck being washed, right? Like every painting, every picture you see. And so when you think about that, this is what this reminds me of. It's very town oriented. It's a small town volunteer fire department home response, right? You're doing about 300 calls a year or so?
Yeah, around 300.
No EMS?
No EMS.
Right.
Other than EMS assist if they need it for something. But.
Yeah. But it's very civic mindedness. And this is where volunteer firefighting, we can't lose the fact that we are an organization that protects our friends and neighbors, and we're civic minded.
It's getting harder and harder as time goes on to get volunteers to join. I hear all the excuses about it's life, people are busy, they're working two jobs, they have kids, they have a family, they have other stuff going on. Well, I had life as well.
Sure.
I'm married, I have two kids, I had two jobs at one point, but I was here every chance I got. My wife married into it, let's say. I have left her in restaurants, movie theaters, wherever we're at, when
We've
the toe drops,
there,
I go.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the funny things was, years ago when my kids were young, my daughter had a friend over, and we're eating dinner. Just, you know, just regular afternoon eating dinner. The tones go off. Well, before the tones stop, I drop my fork and I run out the door.
Sure.
I don't even know what the call is, but I just go.
Sure.
When I come back, the girl's like, and it was something minor because we're only going maybe 10 or 15 minutes. That's a normal thing. When I get back, the girl's like, what was that? I said, well, I had a fire call. She said, yeah, but you were in the middle of dinner. I said, yep. I said, and somebody on the other end of that call needed help. I said, whatever it was, and that's what I do. I said, so my life stops for a few minutes. I go out and take care of the community, no matter what it is, big or small, and then I come back to my life. I said, this is what the community needs. And the girl was like, oh, okay, I can see, I can understand that. Even at her age, you could see that she understood what I was saying. And that's what the communities need. They need that mentality of no matter what is going on in your life, if you want to give to the community, you need to abandon what you're doing at that particular moment, unless it's just so something that you can't walk away from, you need to abandon it and walk away and come back to it in 10 or 15 minutes. Your 10 or 15 minutes loss isn't anywhere as close to as important as it is to that person that called 911 and said,
wow,
I need something.
That's it.
Whatever it is, I need something. And they're expecting somebody to show up. And this is what we do here.
There is tremendous sacrifice that comes along with being a volunteer firefighter. I mean, you do put your life on hold. I do, you do, you do. We all do that, right? We've signed up for this. And when you do it and do it the way it needs to be done, we do sacrifice. We sacrifice a lot of our time.
We sacrifice a lot.
Yes.
We lose a lot of time with our families, a lot of time with our friends. A lot of time at work.
Yes.
But we make up for that on this other end of that by helping. And that's the idea. If you come here and volunteer, you want to give of yourself to the community. You want to give to the community. You don't want to come here and see what you can get from the department or from the community. That's not why you come here.
100%.
You come here to give.
Yeah, and I think too, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, the reward of that, right? I know for me, it's the personal gain of making myself better, challenging myself, putting myself in a place with people that I want to be with, and accomplishing tasks and helping our neighbors. I mean, how important is that, Chief?
That's very, very important. I just love when we're going on calls and we're at calls, all the kids that come out and just the smiles on their faces.
Yes.
And just looking up. We could be just changing batteries on a smoke detector, but hey, the fire truck's at my neighbor's house and that, and just the general public giving thanks to us, coming up, thank you, good job. We could be on a fire call for a couple hours and our neighbors bring us water,
yeah,
coffee, food. We've had all kind of offers. You want me to make dinner for you guys? And, you know, it's
that small town feel.
Yes.
And I think that's what's important is when your neighbor recognizes that sacrifice that you do put in. You put in a lot of time here. And that's something I wanted to talk about, Chief. And I wanted to ask you this question. When we did the walk around before with the tower ladder, we talked about you have a puck design on the tower ladder and your two engines are also puck designs, mm-hmm. which puts a lower pump housing into the apparatus midship, which allows for lower cross lays. And your cross lays sit on poly slide outs that you can pack off the truck and then load back in. And I asked you about how you like that feature and you spoke highly of it. And I never heard this before, but you were very protective in the conversation that you wanted to make sure that I understood what you did with that concept, in that the poly bins, after a fire and you stretch your pre-connects, you guys roll your pre-connects back up, you throw them in a truck, you come back to the firehouse, you take the rolls off, you already have an extra set of poly bins in the rear of the firehouse that are loaded with hose, mm-hmm. that you put back on the apparatus, tie them back into the pre-connect swivel, you close the compartment, and you're back in service. Why?
It gets our members back to their job during the day or their family during the day or at night as fast as possible. Instead of sitting on the scene and spending 20 minutes packing the hose, packing wet hose back in the truck,
yeah,
we just leave it back at the station. We have those extra bins here, so when we get back, it takes all of about 5 minutes to take the empty bin out, throw the new bin in, hook up the hose, hook up the nozzle, close the door, and we're out the door. It's all about speed and getting people back to their lives.
Super protective of your volunteers' time.
Yes.
As this volunteer fire service gets more and more involved, it requires more and more time from all of us.
Correct.
So if fire companies recognize that and can put in the effort to minimize the time they have to spend here doing menial tasks, right? All this work has to get done. But we can always wash the hose and repack it on a training night, mm-hmm. or come back down for a special detail later that night so people can get back to work, they can get back to their families, and then come down at an organized time. I just think that type of thinking speaks volumes to the type of department that you guys have here, is you're very respectful of your people. Because I know in the Volunteer Fire Service, we need more members. We're doing more with less. We have less people than ever, and I'm sure your roles are not busting at the seams.
No. I joined in 89, you were assigned to a truck. So every truck had a full crew, 6, 8, depending on when the ladder came, 8 people or more. When you responded to a call, you got on your truck or your engine and you responded. And it was the pride to have your engine get out the door before everybody else's. So that's how it worked. So everybody rushed to get here, everybody rushed to get on the truck, everybody rushed to get out. That has gone by the wayside.
Yes.
Now, the first 4 guys that come in the door, the truck that's supposed to go on that call, that's what they get in. And if we have 4 more guys that come in, then we'll take the next truck.
Sure.
Depending on the call, there's 3 departments in the township. If we have a structure fire call, right off the bat, all 3 departments go. So we get a full response from the district the fire's in, and then an engine from both other departments to cover to get a manpower.
Yeah.
Day and night. It's getting...
I remember second due and third due rolling out with 6, 8, 11 guys.
Yes.
I mean, four deep on each side of the open cab doghouse, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Those were the days, huh?
Back in the days.
Back in the day.
There used to be fist fights to get on the truck.
That's right.
I've been here longer than you. Get off, I'm getting on.
Yeah. We still have those conversations sometimes when we're going mutual aid. I'm not going to lie. You know? But, I mean, I'll tell you, though, it speaks volumes to the passion we have for what we do. And I think that, you know, when I sit here and through conversation today and getting to know you guys, the storytelling here is amazing. And I think that it's repetitive in so many firehouses that I go to. But you guys, one extra step, you are super conscious of your people's time. I think more volunteer fire companies need to focus on that aspect of it, because I think that's where we can show absolute value to our members, that we respect them enough that we can't expect them to give all in if we're not going to give back. So, guys, thank you. A great conversation about the department, learning a little bit more about the Town Bank Fire Company. I just want to come kind of bring it back around, though, and just talk about why we're here today, this calendar project and featuring your new tower ladder.
Okay.
I think it's important, too, to share a little bit about the process. You guys are a little bit more unique than some other departments, and I'm kind of intrigued by that, and I want to focus on involving, say, a third party to help you with the design and build.
The first engine that we went to replace, which has been 8 years ago now, that was the first truck I got involved in specking out. I have no idea how to spec out a fire truck. I can pick out pieces and parts and say, this is what I want to do, get an idea of the truck, but I have no idea. Talked to a friend of mine that is from Ocean View Fire Department, and he gave me the name of Tom Shand. He is a spec writer and inspector, and his job is to help you along with the specifications, go out with you to pre-construction, post-construction, do inspections on the truck, and make sure everything's right. As we went through the first spec, he makes suggestions. Well, this is what you want, but this is your better option. Mm. For instance, our old trucks had steel wheels, which we were going with because of the cost. When we spec those in there, he's like, you don't want that. You want to spend the extra money on the aluminum wheels. I'm like, well, why? He's like, because the aluminum wheels dissipate the brake heat.
Yeah.
You're out the door, you're going down the road, you're slamming on the brakes, you're speeding up, you're slamming on the brakes. That will help you with that. Okay. Specifications on specific lights, specific this, specific that. I mean, he made everything so much easier and made it make sense, because there were technical issues that I have no idea about. You can talk to me about brakes all you want, but that doesn't mean anything to me. Even the intake valves, the automatic intake valves. One manufacturer was spec'd. He's like, you don't want that because of this, you want this. And we did that. So it works out. When you go out to do final inspection for the 2 days, he is from under the truck to around the truck to on the truck to in the truck for 2 days straight. And he finds every little thing that's wrong with that truck that's on the specifications that need to be repaired. Right down to, there were no acorn nuts on the back of the bumper. So that's how specific he is. The last one we did, the drains for all the valves, when they dumped on top of something. He's like, nope, that's got to move. So he is worth every cent. Now, the tower that we just bought, we paid roughly $1.7 million for. He charged us about, I think it was about $5,000 to do pre-construction trip out, final inspection trip out. Well worth every cent.
Yeah.
Every cent.
Yeah, a small price to pay on such a large build, right?
Yes.
And I think what's really interesting, and I talk about this a lot when we talk about designing and building apparatus, we all have it. We sit in a truck committee that's made up of guys from the firehouse. Mm-hmm. And we sit down and we talk about, you know, usually it's a couple chiefs, the officers, a couple guys that ride backwards in that truck or that company. And all of a sudden, we all become experts on the whole truck, right? Braking, auxiliary braking, systems, pumps, you name it, right? We all know. But the only thing we know, right, unless you do it for a living and repetitively, is you only know what you read or what you're told.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so we all become experts very quick when we're designing an apparatus. But here's the crazy thing. Fire apparatus costs more than most people's homes.
Yes, they do.
You wouldn't build your house that way.
No. Mm-mm.
So why are we doing that when we're building apparatus? And that's where I think is super important, that we need to involve people when it comes to design considerations or cementing your ideas. You might have an idea, or you guys might have a concept, but there's got to be somebody that can verify the validity of
yes.
it, right?
And that's the man.
Yeah.
He makes sure that it's all right, that what you want to do is really what you want to do.
Yeah.
And then he just straightens it all out.
Yeah.
So I would not buy another truck, and I won't buy another truck without him or his replacement, because he's getting up there in years, but he's got his son working, and he's just as good.
So I think, too, you know, I think with you, with this point of view and perspective, it parallels the conversation we had earlier about respecting your volunteers' times and respecting the community. It's a way to show true faith to the town that believes in you. You're spending a lot of money
yes.
on an apparatus that's going to serve your community for 20 to 25 years. You have to make sure that that purchase is representative mm-hmm. of what is needed mm-hmm. for the town.
Yes, and our fire department is overseen by a fire commission.
Yes.
The fire commission is a government entity that gets tax dollars from the local people. So they're the ones that are ultimately responsible for what we're spending. For this truck, years ago when we started looking to replace trucks, we put $75,000 away in a capital line item every year to bank money.
Right.
We put $35,000 away in a capital line item to bank money for equipment.
Right.
When we bought the first engine, the first payment was the year after the building bond was paid off. So $250,000 building bond payment, next year, truck payment. No tax increase.
Right.
So same amount of money. We did that for the first truck. When the first truck was paid, same thing. Second truck starts the payment. By the time this came up, there was a couple extra years. It was 3 or 4 years because of COVID and everything else. When we went to buy this, we gave them a down payment of $1 million that we had saved to keep the tax rate to where it was. So now same thing, 3 years, $250,000
payment. Right.
So the commission has been very financially stable no matter what we're doing or how much we're spending on trucks, because they've planned ahead.
Sure.
And we've worked with them over the years. And when I first did the first truck and said, I need to get this spec right, or it's what it's going to cost, their answer to me was, that's not even 1% of the cost of the truck. You'd be foolish not to.
Right.
And you're protecting us and the fire protecting the fire commission, protecting the fire department, and protecting myself, because when I go out for this truck, I'm the one that's got to sign the
well, that's it.
I got to be the bottom of the line. There you go. Yep, I'll take the truck the way it is and sign off on $1.7 million.
Yeah. The process itself, pre-construction, post-construction, right? Pre-construction has become a very popular topic. Most departments are doing that. How important is doing a pre-construction meeting after the spec is done to sit down, maybe even go to the factory to do pre-construction? Did you guys do pre-construction at the factory?
We did pre-construction at the factory on this, yes.
How valuable was that process?
It was very valuable. We actually were able to see other similar vehicles out there and give us ideas and insights on what we might want to add, subtract from our vehicle.
Yeah.
So it was very helpful going out there.
It makes sense.
No, it's good to go out, especially on a truck like this, to sit down with the truck engineer, the tower engineer, the pump guy, the foam guy. There were a lot of questions and a lot of changes that we made when we were out there in pre-construction that we would not have known about or made at final inspection, because the truck would have been done.
Yeah.
So it's well worth the 2-day trip and the cost of the 2-day trip to straighten out your truck before you say, okay, build this.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
So important, right? And I think that is a great way to kind of start to wrap here, is that it's the truck, its build, and the process behind it, and the people behind it make up the Town Bank Fire Company. And I think that it speaks volumes to who you are, the institution you have here. You know, you guys have a great place. And I just thank you very much for inviting us in today and being a part of the project with Fire and Safety, and for us to be able to facilitate the conversation, to do a walk around, to get a nice ride around the district, see this beautiful area that you guys call home. I'm a little bit jealous, I'm not gonna lie, but I'll certainly be back to visit, and it's just a gorgeous area. So, Chiefs, thank you. Thanks for opening your doors, thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah, good.
We appreciate the opportunity.
Guys, thank you. Guys, check out Fire and Safety Services, their 2024 calendar representing 12 departments across the state. It's a great idea. A lot of great virtual content to be built off of the calendar. So scan that QR code, watch the interviews, and share your ideas and thoughts. We'll see you at the next one. I'm Jeremy, National Fire Radio.